on me. It's time to get it checked, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me. What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about? Take your best shot, I'ma take the last shot. I'm Jordan in the clutch, boy. You bitten on me. It's time to get it checked, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me. What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about?
All righty, guys, we are here for another episode of the Auto Bid. That was my guy, Pull Up Tay, on the intro. Gonna be him again on the outro. Make sure you guys are streaming my guy's music, man. As always, we tell you guys every week, he's one of the hottest rappers coming out of Montgomery County right now, coming out of the whole DMV area right now, man. His new project, Why Stop Now, is out on all platforms. Make sure you guys are putting his name in on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, man. Give him my man a like, a share for his music, man, because, you know what I'm saying, soon it's going to be too late, man. Once my guy blows up, man, it's going to be too late to hop on the bandwagon. So, you know what I'm saying, the Auto Bid, we've been telling you about this man for about 2 years, so go ahead and tap into his music, man, and make sure you guys are engaging with his content. And, of course, make sure you guys are tapping in with our content, you know what I'm saying, give us a like, give us a rating, a share, hit that subscribe button. Make sure you guys are engaging with our content on social media, man. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Our TikTok platform is live. We got some reels on there and on the IG page. Tap into that, man. Please make sure you guys are giving us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you listen to this music, man. I mean, to this podcast, excuse me. Because it does go a long way in terms of getting this episode out to the right people. But it is March, man. It's the first episode of the Auto Bid. In March, man, it's conference tournament time. We've had a bunch of games going on, a bunch of games to look forward to, man. The best month of the year, man. So how you doing, Drew?
I'm doing good, man. You know, excited to get into these conference tournaments. It's going to be a lot of pandemonium going on in the next couple of weeks, man. So best time of the year for a college basketball fan.
It sure is, man. Speaking of which, man, we got a great interview for you guys coming up later with Towson head coach Pat Scarry and Terry Nolan, man, one of the Tigers' best players, man. Towson recently won the regular season in the Colonial Athletic Association, man, for the first time in program history, man. They have never won the CAA regular season championship. Them, I mean, UNC Wilmington were tied atop the league at 15-3. So Towson gets the tiebreaker by way of their sweep over Hofstra, who was the third seed in the conference tournament. So kudos to Pat Scarry, who recruited Drew and I way back in the day in high school, man. And we got to talk about that magical season for Towson in an interview that we can get to you guys later today, man. But like Drew said, man, there's been a bunch of games that have taken place, man. So we want to get you guys caught up on those. And then we're going to hop into our Week 17 mid-major rankings, the last one of the regular season. But before we get to the rankings, man, Drew, let's just tell the viewers, you know what I'm saying, what's been going on, man?
Yeah, man, like we said, man, it's crazy because it is conference tournament time. There are games being played. There are seasons that are ending right now as we speak, man. I guess we'll start with the NEC. You know, NEC, it wasn't that exciting, you know, so I guess we can start with that first because it went chalk pretty much in the quarterfinals. Number one seed, Bryan, defeated 9th seed, Central Connecticut State. Number 2 seed, Wagner, advanced with a victory over St. Francis, Pennsylvania. 3-seeded LIU advanced to semifinals with a win over Sacred Heart. And 4-seeded Mount St. Mary's defeated 5-seed St. Francis, Brooklyn. So, like I mentioned, the NEC went pretty much chalk the top 4 seeds, all advanced. However, the Big South, we got to talk about that, man, because, I mean, that conference tournament has already been absolutely crazy, absolute pandemonium, beginning with Charleston Southern, who won on a buzzer beater over – well, first of all, they were the 12th seed entering the Big South tournament, and they got a win over 5th seed at UNC Asheville, 79-78, on a putback. Charleston Southern only had 2 Division I wins entering this game. They were 1-15 in Big South play, and they got a win over 5-seed UNC Asheville, you know. So that's March at its finest, you know, upsets at its finest. North Carolina A&T was also able to get a win over Radford. Obviously, this is their first year in the Big South after coming to the Big South from the MEAC. They're going to be heading to the CAA pretty soon. So they were able to get their first Big South tournament victory over Radford. 7th seeded High Point defeated 10th seed Hampton 84-77. And then 6th seeded Campbell was able to squeak out a win over 11th seeded Presbyterian 72 75 in a double overtime game, man. So the Big South is definitely producing the popcorn and the fireworks early. We're also underway in the OVC, where fifth seed Tennessee State advanced over eight seed SIU Edwardsville, and seventh seed Tennessee Tech got a win over sixth seed Austin Peay out of the OVC. Now we're going to head to the Sun Belt, where eight seeded Louisiana was able to get a win over nine seed UT Arlington. 12 seed Little Rock was able, is actually playing South Alabama right now. And they actually had the lead 42-36 at halftime. So that game is actually going on as we are recording this podcast. So, you know, we'll see what ends up going down there. But like I said, man, conference tournaments are underway. There are people who are advancing. There are upsets. There are people seasons who are ending. So I'm sure there's some tears going down. But like we said, man, this is March, you know, so this is what we kind of expect this time of the year.
Yeah, man, listen, man, as my guy John Rothstein says, you know, there are people that are planning family vacations in March, man. I don't want any part of those people in their lives, man, because these games are must-see TV right now, man. And like Drew said, man, the Big South has been absolutely pandemonium. Shout out to Tajay Kelly, scored 24 points for Charleston Southern in that win and drilled the game winner for Charleston Southern to beat UNC Asheville in that first-round matchup.
Yeah, man, actually, a score update too, man. Little Rock actually still has the lead over South Alabama 48-43. There's 12 minutes left in that game now, so we're approaching the under 12 media timeout. So, I mean, that would be a 12-5 upset if Little Rock was able to pull that off over South Alabama. We'll see if they can finish it off in these last 12 minutes, but, you know, it could be another potential upset out of the Sun Belt coming soon.
Hey, man, listen, Richie Riley is a friend of the podcast. We've had him on last offseason, man. So hoping that those guys can pull out over there, man. But like you said, man, it's March. So there will be upsets, man. There will be upsets. So, you know, definitely stay tuned as we follow that game. But I mentioned earlier, man, we also dropped our Week 17 Top 25 Mid-Major Rankings, man, the last rankings of the regular season. These are going to be the last rankings that we'll get until Selection Sunday. After the conference tournaments, we'll put out our final mid-major rankings of the year. And then, obviously, once the madness ensues in March, then we'll go ahead and, you know, enjoy that. But one more ranking coming for you guys. We actually might wait till after the tournament. I don't know. We'll see what happens. You know, just in case one of these guys wants to advance to the Elite Eight or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Don't want to have a team in at 25 and then they go to the Final Four. But, you know, we'll see what happens, man. Definitely going to do one more ranking. Either going to come on Selection Sunday or after, you know, it's all said and done. Once the last mid-major team loses, they know Gonzaga is not a mid-major, so they will not be included in our rankings if they do indeed win it all. Like I said earlier, man, Week 17 rankings, we got the same number one, Murray State, is cemented at number one after they absolutely dog-walked Belmont in the OVC. St. Mary's, after their huge win over Gonzaga, moves from number three to number two, man. We had to supplant North Texas there, even though North Texas is extremely hot, playing some great basketball out of Conference USA. Anytime you beat the number one team in the country, you know, that deserves respect. So we had to jump North Texas and put St. Mary's at number two. But we mentioned North Texas, they've won 14 straight games. So, you know, top three is no slouch. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Grant McCaslin and North Texas for what they've been doing this season, man. Certainly going to be a team that's going to be dangerous come March. Boise State, fresh off of their Mountain West regular season championship, they come in at number four in this week's ranking. South Dakota State, after surviving a scare from Oral Roberts in what was an absolute thriller last week in the Summer League, man, South Dakota State comes in at number five. They have now run their win streak to 18 and are 27-4 on the year, which is unbelievable, man. 18-0 in the regular season in the Summer League. That hasn't been done in the history of the league, if I'm not mistaken. I know I saw Jeff Goodman tweet something about this week. I don't know if it hasn't been done or hasn't been done in a long time, but nonetheless, historic season there for Eric Henderson and South Dakota State, man. So they're at number five this week. Number six, San Diego State, after a huge, huge win. If you listen to last week's podcast, I spoke at length about San Diego State and the importance of that game against Wyoming, man. They were able to go and get a road win at Wyoming. Huge for them in their tournament resume, man. They should be safely inside the field of 68 at this point in time, man, barring something unforeseen. They're going to play Fresno State and Nevada to close the year. So, you know, and then obviously they have the Mountain West tournament. So, barring something unforeseen, they should be hearing their name called on Selection Sunday. And the four-bid Mountain West is looking alive and well right now. So, kudos to San Diego State for that. They come in at number six in our pool. Davidson, out of the A-10, is at number seven. They are no longer the lone A-10 team in this poll, man. And we'll get to the other A-10 team that joined the poll a little bit later. But A-10 regular season champions, Davidson, they're at number 7 in this poll. Number 8, Colorado State. Number 9, Wyoming. Number 10, Iona out of the MAC is coming in at number 10. Number 11, the CAA regular season champion, Towson Tigers, man. Kudos to Pat Scary for the job that he's done. We mentioned that. We mentioned him earlier. We talk a lot about them after this in our interview with Coach Scary, but first time in program history, they won the CAA, and the CAA obviously is an amazing league this year. I believe they're up to the 12th best conference in the country at this point in time. So kudos to Towson coming in at number 11 on the rankings this week. 12 is Vermont after winning their American East regular season championship. 13, Northern Iowa, who beat Loyola Chicago to win the Missouri Valley. So we had a bunch of regular season champions in the top half of our poll. Northern Iowa comes in at number 13 this week. Kent State is playing some outstanding basketball in the MAC. They're at 14. Toledo is 15. VCU, the second team out of the Atlantic 10, comes in at 16 this week. San Francisco at 17. UAB, 18. Loyola Chicago comes in at 19. Belmont's at 20. Chattanooga, the regular season champions in the SoCon, they're at 21. New Mexico State out of the WAC is 22nd. They're in place to win the regular season championship. I don't believe that they've clinched yet since they still have some games to play, but likely going to be the regular season champion in the WAC. They're at 22. 23 is Princeton. They're going to have opportunity to win a regular season championship. They're going to play UPenn this weekend at the Palastra. A huge game for them. If they lose, and they'll be tied with Yale. I'm not really sure how the tiebreaker is going to go, but currently Princeton is in the driver's seat in the Ivy League. They're at 23. Norfolk State, regular season champions in the MEAC for the second straight year. They're at 24. And Bryant, regular season champions out of the NEC. Shout out to my guy, Peter Kiss. Shout out to my guy, Charles Pryor, PCA Hoops and Lemming. Of course, Coach Jared Grasso at Bryant, who secured his first 20-win season in program history with last night's win in the NEC championship, in the NEC tournament over Central Connecticut State. They have now won 20 wins for the first time in program history. Grasso is certainly going to be a guy who's going to hear his name buzzing in a lot of the coaching carousel rumors this offseason. Obviously, UMass has already opened. There are rumors that URI might open. I think he'd be a great candidate for either one of those jobs. So kudos to Jared Grasso and Bryant for the job that he's done this season there. And, you know, they're going to have a tall task coming up awaiting them. They're going to get a rematch of last year's NEC title game. They're going to play Mount St. Mary's in the semifinals of the NEC championship. The NEC is going to be a fun league. We're going to talk a little bit about that later, but some great semifinal matchups between them and Mount St. Mary's and Wagner and LIU in that league.
For sure, man. Definitely looking forward to the NEC playoffs, man. I know Coach Engelstad at Mount St. Mary's is not going to be ducking no smoke. You know, as he said earlier, he was looking forward to playing Bryant. Obviously, they beat them last year in the tournament. So I know Bryant is going to be looking forward to kind of get some get back for losing on their home court last year, man. So definitely excited to see how that pans out, man. I know, you know, also there's obviously some, you know, NEC drama here with the Player of the Year Award and things like that. So I know Peter Kiss and those guys over at Brown are going to be super motivated to kind of right those wrongs, I guess. You know, but I think, you know, Alex Morales definitely was a deserving candidate, you know, with the season that he put together at Wagner. So definitely got to give him a shout out for winning Player of the Year and Defensive Player of the Year in the NEC this year, man. So, you know, hats off to him, man.
Yeah, I want to say this while we're on the podcast, because obviously I had some tweets out on Twitter the other day about, you know, Peter Kirsten. I think he should have won the award, like, flat out. I think anytime you're the leading scorer in the country and you're also on the regular season champions in that league, he averaged 28 points per game in NEC play. Like, that is – I don't think any people quite understand how ridiculous that is for somebody to be averaging day near 30 points a game in their league. Like, that's ridiculous. And the next closest player – averaged 21 points per game, and that was Ty Flowers from LIU. The next person after that was Peter Kiss's teammate, Charles Pride, who averaged 20. And then you had Alex Morales, who's right under Charles Pride. I think he's at about like 19.8, 19.9, somewhere in there. So we'll say 20, but fourth leading scorer. And obviously, he is a better rebounder than Pete. They're both great passers. Obviously, Morales is a better defensive player. And so, obviously, no disrespect to Alex Morales. Obviously, he won it last year. And great guy, great player. But I do think that the NEC got this one wrong. But, you know, there were some factors that led into that we won't have to discuss on this podcast. But just for a little stat, I was going back and forth with Ryan Peters, who's the NEC writer, and the last person to lead the country in scoring and not winning Player of the Year in their respective leagues was Tyler Harvey in 2014. He led the country in scoring, played at Eastern Washington, who won the Big Sky regular season championship. But he didn't win the Player of the Year in the league. And That was the only time that's happened in the last decade. So just some context there. That doesn't happen often. And I think Peter Kisses was certainly deserving of the award in that league. But kudos to Alex Morales and the job, you know, that he's done this season. And I hope we get a rematch. I hope we get Peter Kisses, Alex Morales, part three in the championship game, because it split the regular season series. Wagner won on their home court and Bryant won on their home court. So the rubber match would be must-see TV and it would be at Bryant. So, you know, Peter Kiss told me that if that does happen, he's gonna be super locked in on that one. So I hope we get that matchup between Wagner and Bryant in the NEC championship. And if it does, I'll definitely be tuned in.
Yes, sir, man. I'm gonna have my popcorn ready for that matchup for sure, man. So, you know, hopefully we get it. Cause we didn't get it last year and they were 1-2, you know. So hopefully we get that this year, man. We can see the two best teams in the NEC over the last 2 years honestly battle it out to see, you know, who's gonna reign supreme, man. And it should be fun.
For sure. I also would say I wouldn't mind seeing a Bryant LIU matchup either, because obviously that first matchup went crazy with the brawl and the suspensions and everything. And then the game, the follow-up game at LIU was wild too. I think Pete had like 36, something crazy, and there was a whole bunch of trash talk. And LIU actually beat Bryant in that game. So they also split the season series between LIU and Bryant. So either way it goes, we'll have some great basketball. And obviously, Mount St. Mary's and Coach Dan Engelstad, they won it last year. So either way, the semifinals and the finals are going to be a great weekend of basketball in the NEC. And, you know, as you can tell, Drew and I are definitely excited about the games and you know, how they're going to end up shaking out. So looking forward to those matchups, man. But one team that we mentioned, we talked a lot about on this podcast, man, I've been covering them all year, is Towson, man. And they won their regular season championship in the CAA. Coach Pat Scary was able to capture this for the first time in his tenure at Towson. So we're going to get you guys over to the interview with Towson men's basketball head coach Pat Scary and Terry Nolan right now. All righty, guys. As promised, we are here with Coach Pat Scary and senior guard Terry Nolan from Towson men's basketball, the CAA regular season champion Towson men's basketball program. So first and foremost, congrats to you guys for the accomplishment, man. Coach Gary, obviously, me, you, and Drew go way back to 2013 when you were recruiting us, and obviously had opportunity to cover you guys all year. And then Terry, it's funny because me and Drew obviously played at Coppin for our last year. I know they were recruiting you for a little bit when you left GW, but obviously you turned down Coppin and turned down Coach Gary, you know, like to go to Bradley. But at least you were able to right that wrong and come back.
I just figured out all three of you guys got something in common. You all broke my heart recruiting these ones.
I repaired it though.
Yeah, yeah, literally.
It was good. They recruited us on the second time around. Maybe, you know, we didn't have the chance. We didn't have the chance.
Facts, man. But, well, true, man. We might as well start with that, man. I mean, for you, Terry, obviously, you know, you started your career at GW. Then obviously, you know, went to Bradley, and obviously, you know, you were able to return to Towson for your grad year. What made you want to come back? Well, first of all, why did you say no the first two times? And then, you know, the third time around, what made you want to come to Towson and spend your last year there?
Well, actually, the first time, Towson was in, like, my top four. Like, they were, like right there. I, for some reason, you know, I wanted to get away. So, like, having that experience of just leaving Baltimore, I kind of wanted to experience that a little bit. So I decided to actually go to Chattanooga, which was in Tennessee, but the coach had left there. And I think that when I opened up my recruitment, it was kind of too late already for like me to come to Towson. I think they already had like a full roster. So then I just went up the hill, went to George Washington, left there the second time. I don't even know why I didn't choose Towson. I'm not even gonna lie to you. I think because Bradley just came off of one conference tournament, and then they were like replacing some guards. And then I kind of like heard about their program, like the grapevine, and then yeah, but you know, coming back the third time, I mean, like, you know, they say third time's a charm, so it definitely was the charm.
Now, Coach Scary, man, I gotta ask you, man. Obviously, you guys were, you know, just crowned the regular season champions in the CAA, man, and it's been a long journey for you. From when you first took over the program, and you know, your first season, you guys go 1-31. You know, the program was in the midst of a 41 game losing streak between the last regime and this regime. And I want to ask you, man, like, what does it mean to you? To see the program from where it once was when you first took the job, and then seeing where it is now, being CAA regular season champions.
Yeah, it means a lot. It's you know, I can't tell you how many former players and guys on staff have reached out, and I've told them all the same. They hope they feel a little bit a part of it. you know, because it's not easy to do. I certainly don't take it for granted. We've had a couple of second place finishes and three third place finishes, but it's, you know, you guys all play at high levels. It's really hard over a regular season to be a champion. There's just a lot that goes into it. And to be honest, for us with this year, my players would tell you this. Terry's our most valuable guy. He's the straw that stirs the drink. We didn't have him for a bunch of game. That even speaks more to how much it means. And, you know, it helps our university. There's no question about it. It's why we came here. We'd never won a title in either the CAA or the America East. And then to be able to do it, I watched him on the news the other night talking about, he always looked up at the banner and you know, it's touching to me. I'm such a good group of guys, fellas. I just, you know, obviously we know how we all want it to end, but I have such respect for these guys, what they've been able to do for us this year.
Now for you, Terry, like, you're a Baltimore guy, you know, and to be able to come home, you know, to Towson and win here at this program, man. I mean, when that buzzer went off, you know, what did that moment mean to you? And, you know, what was going through your head when you guys were able to get that win a few days ago?
I mean, honestly, it was just gratifying. Because, like, you know, you've been in college for 5 years. This is my fifth year. So, like, actually seeing all the work that you put in from the summertime until, like, in March, like, it feels amazing. So, like, and then coming home and doing that, literally words can't even, like, express, like, the gratitude that I have to be able to break a 30-year curse. Like, I think this is kind of some of the things that kids, they dream of doing this for their hometown. And, you know, like, me and Coach Gary, we had a relationship, you know, way before I even came, you know, back to Towson, like I said, the first time. And we've always been kind of tight. So, like, when I told him I wanted to come here, you know, like, we had that common goal, and he definitely believed in it probably more than I did, honestly.
Now, Coach, man, I got to ask you, because you just mentioned it briefly on your last response about, you know, that goal. You know, obviously, you know, job's not finished. You know, the Baltimore goal is to get to the NCAA tournament. But I was listening to you know, a podcast, and I was listening to kind of Chris Paul talk. And he mentioned, obviously, last year, the Phoenix Suns, you know, they got to the NBA Finals and they came up short. And this year, they obviously had the number one record in the NBA in the West, the Western Conference. And he mentioned that, you know, obviously their goal is to win the NBA championship. But there's, you know, there's an importance of celebrating kind of those small victories along the way to what your ultimate goal is. And he mentioned, you know, them getting the number one seed, it meant that Monty Williams and the whole coaching staff was able to coach in the All-Star game, and how big that of accomplishment that was for him. You know, for you guys, obviously the goal is, like you mentioned, to, you know, win the CAA, get to the NCAA tournament and go dancing. But for you, man, how important is it for you to kind of celebrate this accomplishment, you know, celebrate this, the fact that you guys are the regular season champs in the CAA, something that hasn't been done in Lord knows how long, man.
Yeah, it's honestly, it's everything. It's why, you know, came to Towson. I'm not a guy that's going to put a lot of personal stuff out there or jump around, but our players know that. I mean, just how much it means to all of us. It, you know, people forget we've won 20 more games than a year ago. I mean, that's never been done. And it's just been, you know, sometimes, like, if you have 100 practices, like, you can think about, oh man, coach was tripping, the guys weren't ready. There's some tough practices. If we've had 1.5 days that have been bad practices, I can't name them. It's just been all summer, all fall. You know, the guys that returned, good players, healthy, and then the transfers led by Terry, they're really good players, but they are phenomenal teammates. I mean, these guys are just, like, the best. And so what that's done for me now moving forward is, it's caused me to reflect on what we're going to continue to do. Not just you got to have some talent, but the type of teammates that these guys have been have really made me think differently. And I appreciate that.
Now, Coach, I have to ask you this, because, you know, the way that you guys were able to win the CAA was very bizarre, because obviously that game, you know, was a continuation of a game that started on January 27th. And was suspended with 18 minutes and 42 seconds left in the game due to the unsafe floor conditions with a turn that we were told. And obviously, you resumed that game down 9 versus Delaware and was able to come back and win. But what was the prep like? Because, like, obviously, you know, on a normal game day, you got the scouting. You know, what was the prep like? Obviously, now we're in hindsight. Can you just walk me through what that prep was like going into that game?
So, one, there was no coaching done. Okay, let's get that straight. It was a quick turnaround. We know Della was very talented and well coached, so we have a quick turnaround. And when we had walkthrough on Sunday, because we played really, really well at James Madison. I mean, probably the best we've played all year. And so I told our guys, look, we're going to change because the game's already in the second half. You know, Terry's going to start. You know, and quite honestly, I told the guys the other day that, and they all know it. Terry's our key guy, but he's like, let's just keep the rhythm as it is. So we go through the whole walkthrough, and then I'm sitting in the office. He calls me and says, yeah, I don't want to start because I like amplifying the energy, was his quote, when I come in. So I was sitting there, I think, with Coach Clark. I said, all right, that's fine. The only thing is we can't wait long. There's already 18. Yeah, I said, but go ahead, tell the guys, tell the veterans, and that's what we'll do. And then I thought it was going to be a grind, you know, because you're worried in that game, like, what happens if you miss a couple shots? There's still a lot of time to make a run. So I was, you know, going, and then it was the strangest thing. Like, we're watching the thing, man, and they throw a surprise zone. There's one pass, and Gibby fires one from, like, 27. Then it, like, the roof blew off. And then, you know, he subbed in about 45 seconds, steals it. Now we're up one. I mean, that was like lickety split fast.
And I mean, one thing I'll say, like, just being there, because when I walked in, I was a little bit late. But when I walked in, like, I don't know what just happened, but the crowd was going crazy. And then I sat down, and that's when I saw Terry got the steal pass. I think it was a Cam, and Cam got the dunk, I want to say. But for you, Terry, what was it like? Obviously, because you didn't play in that first game. Like, you weren't even, you were inactive. And then coming in, like, what was your mindset coming into the game? Obviously, coaches wanting to do you not wanting to start. I mean, what went into that choice for you, not wanting to start, but wanting to come off the bench? And then, you know, just playing the last 15 minutes of that basketball game, you know, just kind of walk me through what that game was like for you.
All right. So, in the beginning of the season, we kind of had a tendency to start a little slow and then dig deeper and later towards the game. But, you know, like towards, I would say, like the last 10 games, I don't think that we've actually kind of started slow. So, like, wasn't no need for me to switch it up. I had, like, faith in all my guys, especially Antonio, because I usually sub in for him and guard their best player also. So, like, I usually feed off of him, if I'm being honest. I see how he's picking up the basketball, his aggressiveness, how he's locked in. So I literally just fed off of that, and I feed off my teammates, literally, though. Coming out the game, you know, coming in the game, is honestly, it was easy. Like, like, we all were locked in. We all knew what was at stake. And so I felt as though we were really together. We all knew we had that common goal, and we just had to play harder at the end of the day.
Like, Coach Gary, obviously you guys have the conference tournament now on the horizon. What is it going to take for you guys to be able to kind of replicate what you guys have been able to put together in the regular season and put it together in the CAA tournament and cut down the nets and punch your guys to get to the big dance?
Yeah, I mean, it won't be easy. Our guys know that. They respect that. They respect all the teams. You know, I mean, heck, we might play Northeast today. That's our last loss. Now, we didn't have Terry, but our guys are keenly aware of that. The focus is on our execution and our energy. We've talked a lot about that on and off the floor. Our guys know that those are choices that, you know, directly affect performance. And so, you know, as cliche as that sounds, like, that's what we'll lock in on. I mean, like, the one thing that's been good about, we've been beat this year. We certainly can get beat again, but the thing I've been proud of is to beat us. You usually got to beat us. You got to play close to 40 minutes, and that's the most important thing a coach can ask for. And, you know, these guys do play the game the right way. You know how, like, sometimes you play on an AU team or a men's league team, and our guys really enjoy playing with each other. I know that. Like, Terry's a guy that can play for a long time professionally, and we have some other guys like that. They'll always remember playing with this group, how enjoyable it is. And you can tell that by the way the ball moves, you know, and it's just it's fun to watch.
Now, Terry, for you, coming in as a fifth-year guy, and you weren't the only one. You, Cam Holden, Antonio Rizzuto, all transferring along with Chase Parr from GW. I mean, obviously, Drew and I were grad transfers all last year. We came in with two other guys, a guy from Tennessee State, another guy from Rob Morris. And oftentimes, you have guys coming in that expect to, you know, come in and have these big years, right? Could be coming in like, oh man, I'm coming here because I'm trying to kill and get paid, you know what I'm saying, and go make money. Then you got guys obviously that were in the program the year before, you know, Jason and Charles and Juwan, you know, that all have you know, played big minutes and played big roles in the program, you know, for years before you guys got there. I mean, you guys have all, Coach Curry talked about it all year, how you guys have just, you know, all sacrificed and have all been, you know, quite frankly, just fun to be around. But what do the conversations look like, you know, coming in as a transfer, knowing that, all right, like, yo, I'm trying to get paid next year. And also knowing like, yo, man, we all got to be able to sacrifice and you know, if we want to win, we all got to maybe, you know, take a step back. Like, your leading scorer averages 14 points a game, but you guys got five guys that are averaging between 10 and 14, you know, and then obviously Antonio's at 8 and Juwan's at 6.5. So really your top seven guys are all averaging between about 7 and 14 points. So speak to me a little bit about that aspect of you guys' team this year.
All right. So yeah, we came in and we really had the mindset that, you know, regardless of wins, losses, how practice go, we dictate our energy from the beginning. And it kind of started like in the summertime. Like, I came in with the mentality that, okay, my goal is to bring out the best in everybody. And how do you do that? By being together. If we're in a weight room and someone's hitting the max, I'm over there, I'm their biggest hype man. I'm shaking their hand. And it's literally just like building a culture at the end of the day. Because I was actually telling my girl about this. Like, if you think about it, it's like a small percent in the world that plays college basketball. So obviously you're here for a reason. From there, it's just about being the best team that you can be and bringing that 1% out in everybody. And so that's what I kind of did, just kind of, you know, by being myself, I feel as though I help guys shine into their light, be very confident in being themselves and play to their strengths. And so that's all we really just been doing this entire, you know, fall up into the spring into now, is just trying to play to our strengths.
You know what, just to interrupt him on that is him and Antonio, especially right away in the summer from day one, always dapping guys up. And Nick Timberlake was late in joining us because he had mouth surgery in the summer. And if you read some stuff on him, when he came back, he told people after 2 days, he was like, these dudes are just different. Like, they just, it was really, really seamless. But you see that in guys like Terry. Like, you know, Terry's going to play professionally. He's really gifted. But the thing that people don't always notice that, like, professional guys have said to me is his assist to turnover ratio was unbelievable. Like, we have guys that understand what translates it into winning, which is ultimately what you need to do if you want to be successful.
Coach, man, I mean,
listen, obviously Terry Nolan's averaging 4 assists and 1 turnover per game. So, you know, just to kind of highlight that.
It's 5 or 6 in the country right now, something like that.
Yeah, it's amazing. Now, Coach, man, obviously this isn't the first time that we've interviewed you, man. I mean, we had you guys on last season. We had a bunch of games last year, and obviously we had you on. Talked a bunch. Ace has been to a bunch of your guys' games this year. What do you think has been, if you could say, you know, pick one thing, like, you know, this is the reason why this team this year was able to accomplish this feat. Like, what would you say that was?
Their intent. You know, just the type of guys. And then on the court, it's the ball movement. I think that clearly defines this team more than any team I've had here.
Now, Future, before we get off, man, you're holding your baby girl in your lap. So I just want to give you a second to kind of talk about, you know, what she's meant to you, how she's kind of impacted your mindset and your play on the court, and, you know, just how having her around has you know, impacted you this year.
All right. Whoa. As soon as she was born, like, instantly I was changed. Like, just seeing that process of someone delivering a baby, it does something to you. I don't know what it does, but, like, I was literally changed immediately. But then, you know, just I'm her role model. Like, I'm like the first male that she's going to find love from, the first male that she's going to see do basically everything. And so just having that perspective, it kind of makes me be the best version of myself every day. I can't, you know, like, I really can't control a lot of things in this world. But one thing I can control is how I act, how I respond to situations. And, you know, like I said, just me trying to be that role model for her as someone, you know, she can look up to, she can try to emulate, someone she can go to, someone she can be comfortable with. I was just trying to instill that in myself. That way she would be the best version of herself.
Now, Coach, man, I can't let you off the hook, man, because, you know, obviously, you know,
You just got the answer why we won. I mean, you hear the guy?
No. That's not what I was going to ask. That's not what I was going to ask, man. You know, because, you know, obviously after you guys won the regular season championship, it was a post-game interview. And your guy Terry here said that, you know, he thinks that this is probably the best Towson team in history, you know. So I got to ask you, Coach. I mean, you've been here for a bunch of teams. Is this your best team that you've had at Towson? Like, because, I mean, I guess you can't really fairly speak for the teams that, you know, 20, 30 years ago, I guess, like that. You know, there have been some teams, I think 90, 91, went to the NCAA tournament. So I'm sure they'll have something to say about that. But I guess we'll let you speak on the teams that you've coached. Is this your best team that you've had at Towson?
I believe it's the best team that's ever played at Towson. And
wow,
I do. That's not a knock on some of the other good teams. I think for two reasons. One, you know, hopefully this would be the cherry on the top, right? We got to try to win this week, and we know that. But, you know, we won the regular season title, and this is the best league that our university's ever played in. I mean, you woke up this morning, our league is rated the 12th best in the country out of 31 leagues, and our program was rated 59th in the net this morning out of 358 teams. So those guys have done that. I'm sure a couple guys like Benjamin and Damas will call me and give me a hard time after they watch your stuff. But those are great teams. There's some great teams before that too. But I think what these guys have been able to do, and you know, I even think back early in the year, like we lost a war to San Francisco, who's as good a mid-major team in the country. We didn't have Gibson, Rizzuto, or Gray. Like we played shorthanded in quite a few games.
Okay.
Hey, man, I think that's probably a good note to end on, if you ask me, man. You heard Coach Gary, you heard Terry Nolan after the game. You heard Coach Gary today, man. But obviously, you know, me and Drew are extremely proud of you guys, man. It's been great. It's been super fun watching you guys all year, man. And definitely wish you guys the best down in D.C. I'll be there. Wish you guys the best. So thank you for coming on today, man, and best of luck as you guys, you know, try to get the ring down in D.C.,
You guys keep doing what you've been doing. You know, as former players and young guys, it's great. So, you know, a lot of people follow you. Keep it up.
Thanks so much, Coach. Appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you, fellas.
All righty, guys. That was Pat Scarry and Terry Nolan, man. You heard him, man. Best team in Towson history, man. That is a bold statement, man, because obviously Towson has had some great teams over the years, man. Our guy Byron Hawkins and Mike Morsell, two DMV guys, they had some great teams there. Obviously, Jarrell Benjamin, a transfer from Georgetown, had some great years there. And, you know, Pat Scarry's been there for a while, man, and people don't understand quite how bad the program was when he took that over, man. They were the worst team in Division One, you know, when he took over that job. Like Drew mentioned in the podcast, they had lost like 40-something straight games at one point in time, man. Like
one straight.
41 straight games, man. That's unbelievable, man. And to take that, man, it takes time, man. You can't, it's not something that's gonna happen overnight, man. A lot of coaches, especially at the high major level, they, you know, get canned after 3-4 years, but you know, Scarry could have probably gotten canned a bunch of times now, man. I'm glad that administration stuck by him, you know, and you know, they're reaping the benefits of their investment, man, because Pat Scarry is truly one of the best coaches in the business, in my opinion, man, and a lot of respect to him, and a lot of respect to Terry Nolan, man. He seems like a great guy, great person, great kid. Great head on his shoulders, man. And obviously, you know, it was a pleasure to have both of them on the podcast this week. But it's time for our favorite segment of the week, the craziest thing we saw. So I'll go ahead and I'll toss it to Drew to start this one off.
Yeah, man, I'm going back to the Big South tournament, man, and that upset in Charleston Southern over UNC Asheville, man. I think that, you know, that's especially one, I think the way that it happened, that upset, because you know, happened on a buzzer beater where I believe it was like an air ball, like a missed jumper from the corner, and then dude gets a tip in, man, down by 1 point, and they ride off into the sunset, man. But you know, they only have two Division I wins for the entire season leading into the conference tournament, and then to pull off that type of game in the conference tournament, man, just shows you how unpredictable March is, man. And a lot of these teams, man, you know, I think you gotta go in, all right, yo. You know, we might have an easy win here in this first round. Like, you can't take your foot off the gas at all, you know. So, for me, man, that was definitely the crazy thing that I saw this week, man. But like I said, man, this is March, so this is what we come to expect.
You know, for sure, man. That definitely was crazy. And the whole Big South tournament yesterday was crazy, man. You had two overtime games, one double overtime game, and then obviously the only game that wasn't was obviously the game winner between Charleston Southern and UNC Asheville. So we mentioned obviously Tajay Kelly with that game winner, man. So the Big South is on one right now. So next round of games are on Friday, man. So gonna have some good ones on Friday as well. NC A&T and Longwood, and Charleston Southern and South Carolina Upstate, went through High Point and Campbell Gardner-Webb. So if you like madness, make sure you're tuning in to the Big South on Friday. All four of those games will be on ESPN Plus at noon, 2, 6, and 8 o'clock. So all day, man, you're going to have some madness in the Big South, man. But it's time for me and Drew to give you guys me and Drew are going to dive into the four conferences here. Obviously, there's a bunch of mid-major leagues, but we picked four that we thought were extremely intriguing, man, to dive into. And we're going to give you our favorite, our sleeper, and an upset. A team that's on upset alert in all 40 leagues. We're going to do the CAA, the A-10, the MAC, and the Missouri Valley. So we'll kick it off with the CAA. You know, since we just started with Towson men's basketball in the interview, we'll start with the CAA. And I'll toss to you, Drew. Who is your favorite? Who is your sleeper? And what team is on upset alert in the CAA?
Yeah, man. You know, I feel like we just had Coach Gary on the podcast. You know what I'm saying? And I can't pick nobody else, man. You know, so I'm going to go Towson as my favorite, mainly because of I think that they're having a Cinderella season this year. And I know that those guys are going to be motivated, you know, to finish it off with the NCAA tournament berth. Plus, you know, those guys hang their hat on defense. You know, Coach Scare has always been a guy who hangs his hat on defense and rebounding. And I think that those two things are something that's going to travel. I mean, when you're on neutral court, you can't always bring a jump shot with you, you know, but you can bring your defense with you and your rebounding with you and your toughness with you. And those are three things that I know you can rely on with Towson. For my sleeper, I'm going to go with Hofstra, man. This is a team that's super, super talented. We all know about, you know, the backcourt and Jalen Ray, Aaron Estrada, and Zach Cooks. And I think that when you have that type of offensive firepower, you know, I think that there's something to be said, man. I think that, you know, those guys have a lot of opportunity, man, to go off. You know, if you need a basket, we all know Aaron Estrada is somebody who can go and create his own offense. So I think that's something that's just dangerous, you know. Upset alert, I'm going to have to go UNC Wilmington. The only reason I would say that is because, you know, obviously, they finished tied with Towson at the top of the CA. And I think that when it comes to these conference tournaments, it rarely goes chalk. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's always usually upsets, one seeds, two seeds, losing, things like that, man. So the reason why I decided to go with Towson, obviously, as my favorite is because their defense and their rebounding travels. But I think that there's going to be upset and one or two seed is going to go down. And if I had to pick one of the two, I'm going to go with UNC Wilmington.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I definitely am going to agree with you that Towson is the favorite. And I think, you know, they are the most well-rounded team in the CAA, and it's not close. They're the best offensive efficiency team in the conference, and they're the best in defensive efficiency in the league. I mean, they have a top 40 offense in the entire country right now. They're 34th in the country in offensive efficiency. They're just outside the top 100 in the country in defensive efficiency at 102. They're 8th in the country in offensive rebounding percentage, and they're 13th. In steal percentage, man. And they shoot almost 37% from the three-point line, man. I mean, they're 52nd in the country in three-point percentage, man. So they have an elite offense, a top 40 offense, a top 100 defense. They're top 40 in the country in three-point shooting. Top 50 in the country in three-point shooting. They're going to offensive rebound, and they're going to defend you, man. So I think Towson is you know, without doubt the favorite. This is Pat Scary's best shooting team. This is his best passing team. But they do it on both sides of the floor, man. And they really have a lot of depth. They have a lot of experience, man. As you heard in that interview, man, they have a lot of guys that are just selfish and that want to win, man, that know how to win. We know old wins in college basketball, man. And Pat Scary has that Terry Nolan, Antonio Rizzuto, Jason Gibson, Charles Thompson, Nick Timberlake, all those guys, man, and have been in college basketball for a long time, and they have won games at a very high level, man. For my sleeper, I'm going to go Delaware, man. And this is a team that I think obviously was picked first in the league. They finished with the fifth seed. Obviously, they dealt with a lot of injuries. They had Dylan Painter out of the lineup. They've had a little bit of a tough run of the muck, man. But when they're healthy, they are one of the most talented teams in the conference, man. I obviously had a chance to see them versus Towson, man. And, you know, their team, they have great guard. You talk about Kevin Anderson, Ryan Allen, and Jermaine Nelson Jr., man. All three of those guys are you know, great guards, man. I think between Delaware, UNC Wilmington, Towson, and Hofstra, I mean, all four of those teams have great backcourts. You know, each team has guys that are electric in terms of, you know, getting the ball off the balance and scoring. But Delaware also has an elite presence in the paint, and Dylan Painter, man, a transfer from Villanova. I think he's somebody that can really have his way in the CAA, man. And so I think Delaware is a team that I would have to watch, and they're going to be my sleeper in the CAA. And 14 is an upset alert, man. It's going to be crazy because I'm actually going to pick Towson for this, man, because I think Towson, they're going to play the winner of the Northeastern and William & Mary game. And Northeastern is a team that's given this team fits over the years. I mean, obviously we saw, you know, last year what Tyson Walker and those guys did last year in Baltimore against Towson. But this year, Northeastern was the last team to beat Towson. They beat them 58-53 back on February 5th. Towson only beat them by three back in January. They beat them 70-67. So they played two close games against against Northeastern, man. So should Northeastern beat William & Mary, man? Obviously, we know Coach Gary has had a great team before. We mentioned, man, they haven't made the tournament yet because they've struggled in the CAA Conference tournament, man. So Northeastern is a team, man. They're extremely well coached, man. Bill Cohen is one of the best in the business. So I'm putting Towson on upset alert because I think that matchup with Northeastern is something that is gonna be interesting. So they're my team that's on upset alert in the CAA, but they're also obviously my favorite in that league as well. So we'll now move on to the A-10, man. So Drew, give me your rundown on the A-10.
Yeah, man. For the A-10, I gotta go Davidson as my favorite. They've been the best team in the A-10 throughout the entire season. And I think that, you know, we've mentioned this before, but when it comes to March, you know, it's just so hard to game plan against them in that system. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, once you get past, you know, that first round, you only have like a 1 day prep. You know, granted, obviously these teams have played Davidson before during the regular season, but you know, when you're trying to prepare for that game on a short prep, it's extremely tough, man. So I think that Davidson is going to be my favorite. My sleeper team is probably going to be unpopular, but it's going to be the Bonnies, you know what I'm saying? And like I said, man, when you're a senior-laden team led by guys like Kyle Lofton and Osuni, shout out to those Pierce Hoops guys, man, you're never out of it. You know, this was a team that's ranked in the top 25 in the beginning of the season, man. They were playing some great basketball. So I'm always going to, you know, have some faith in those guys that, you know, when it comes to conference tournament, obviously they're the defending A-10 champions, A-10 tournament champions from last season. You know, so I think that they're going to go in there with some swagger and confidence, and they're not going to be scared of anybody in the A-10 tournament. So they're my sleeper. Upset alert, I'm going to have to go VCU. And despite the fact that they're playing some great basketball right now, man, I think that when it comes to, you know, their struggles on offense, that could bode for some trouble in turn, man. If you're on neutral court, you're going cold, you can't make shots. That's, you know, prime position for upset, man. So those are my three picks for the A-10.
Wow, Drew, we actually agree, man. Me and you have the same exact three. I agree with you that Davidson's the favorite, man. Rightfully so, regular season champs. St. Bonaventure, I do agree, the sleeper, man. Anytime you're that experienced, and they have the seniors, man. Like, all those guys are old, man. And you know, the one thing I worry about with them is you know, are they going to be tired, man? Because those guys, listen to this, their top five scorers right now, Jalen Attaway averages 16 points a game. He plays 38 minutes a game. Jaron Holmes, second leading scorer, he averages 14, or just under 14 points per game. He's at 38 minutes per game. Kyle Lofton averages 13 points a game. He's at 38 minutes per game. Dominic Walsh, the fourth leading scorer, averaging 12 a game. He's at 37 minutes per game. And then Asuna obviously averages 11-8, and he's averaging 30 minutes a game. So their starters, they literally run their starters into the ground, man. In a situation where you're going to have to win 3-4 games in a 4-5-day period, you know, the only thing is with them is I wonder if, you know, that is going to end up catching up to them because, you know, Coach Mark Schmidt has been unapologetic about it. We asked him about it when he came down to George Mason, man, and he was like, yo, like, this is what we do. We're conditioned for it, and you know, this I'm gonna play my best player on my best players on the floor as much as possible. So, all right, man, listen, you know, to each their own, man. And also, I agree with you that VCU is the one that's on upset alert. Their offense isn't great, man. They're 246 in the country in offensive efficiency. They also turn it over a bunch, man. They turn it over on 22% of their possessions, which is 343rd in D1's, only 358 Division I team. So they turn it over some of the most in Division I. But I will say, like, they play at an extremely slow tempo. So, you know, their percentage of – their volume of turnovers might not be a lot. They might not be turning over 15, 16 times a game. But because they play at such a slow pace, one in every five of their possessions ends in a turnover, which is obviously less than ideal. They also foul a lot and they give up a ton of offensive rebounds. So that's not a good recipe for success in the conference tournament as well. They are elite defensively, man. I mean, they're fourth in the country in defensive efficiency, but – you know, obviously your defense travels, man, so that can carry you, but they're going to need to be exponentially great in a weekend. We talk about you had to win, you know, 3-4 games in a row in order to cut down the net. So I'm also putting VCU on upset alert in the A-10.
Well, man, it's not not often that we agree, man. But I think we can move on to our, you know, the conference that we probably know the best, and that's the MAC, man. So Ace, man, give me your MAC teams here.
Yeah, this is no surprise to anyone. I'm sure we'll probably agree about this. Iona's the favorite. Like, they've won now, I believe, 5 straight MAC tournaments that have been played. You know, the Rick Pitino's at the helm. They've ran through the conference all year. After the Sean Paul was wrong, they did not go undefeated in the MAC, and we told them that they won it. But 16-2 is darn good. They're 24-5 on the year, and they're gonna have at least probably one or two guys on the first team all MAC. Obviously, Tyson Jolly and Nelly Dorian Joseph, probably both of those guys probably end up on the first team if I had to guess. Elijah Joyner will probably end up on the second or the third team in the MAC, and their team that's going to be extremely dangerous. So they're undoubtedly the favorite in the MAC. A sleeper team, I'm gonna go with St. Peter's, man. And obviously, their team that they ended up finishing in second, which was a surprise, man. But their team that has beat, they're the last team to beat Iona in the MAC tournament. Like, the last time, obviously, it ended up being short-lived because we didn't get to see the fruits of their labor because Miss Rona came around and wrecked it, you know. But St. Peter's did beat Iona in that 2020 MAC tournament, and they were, you know, nobody's gonna ever know, you know, how that tournament would have ended up, because obviously St. Peter's, Siena, both of those teams are extremely, extremely good, and both of those teams would have actually had a chance to win it. But St. Peter's is a team we talked about that is elite defensively, man. They're the best defensive team in the league, first in defense efficiency, effective field goal percentage defense, turnover percentage, 2-point percentage defense, 3-point percentage defense, and first in steal percentage, second in block percentage, man. So they are literally elite in every single defensive category in the MAC. They do foul a lot on defense, but, you know, I think that's something that Shaheen Holloway is okay with when you're playing that brand of basketball. They have Kaysen Nedefo, who is one of the best players in the league. He's having obviously a solid year. Last year, you know, he was pretty sure he was defensive player of the year in the league last season. And this year, he's not having, you know, this the type of year statistically that he had last year, only averaging 10.6 rebounds and 2 assists, but he's also averaging nearly 3 blocks and 1 steal per game. So that guy does it all, man. He's an elite rim protector at the rim, man. And I think their team, obviously, super well coached. Shaheen Holloway is you know, doing an outstanding job with that program. So they're gonna be my sleeper. And then my upset alert team is gonna be Monmouth, man. Their team that came to the conference season with a lot of expectations, having, you know, had the non-conference season that they did, but they've really struggled in MAC play, man. 10-8 in league play is not something that King Rice or, you know, George Pappas or any of those guys definitely would have guessed coming into the league. But they're a team that, you know, I think could easily lose in the first round of this tournament, man. I mean, they're right now the fourth seed. They're going to play, it looks like, Marist in that 4-5 game, in that first game in the MAC tournament. And Marist is the team, second best offensive team in the league, fifth best defensive team in the league. John Dunn obviously used to coach at St. Peter's, and he's obviously a great defensive mind. So, you know, that could be a matchup that doesn't really bode well for Monmouth, man. So I'm putting them on upset alert. And I think that if they're not careful, man, they could be a team that could win it all, or they could be a team that could lose in the first round. So, you know, kind of a Jekyll and Hyde situation there for Monmouth.
Yeah, man. Well, we agree on our favorite and our upset alert team. I also had Monmouth at my team that was on upset alert just because they've been very up and down this year. And very inconsistent, you know, so for all the reasons that you said, man. But my sleeper team, man, I'm going to go Siena. I think they're playing great basketball right now. They were able to get the 3 seed this year in the MAC. Siena at 3 right now, man. And they already have the victory over Iona this season. You know, they beat them by 6 points early on in the season. They're playing good basketball right now. They've won 6 out of the last 8 games. And, you know, you want to be playing your best basketball heading into March. So I know that they're going to come into the MAC tournament. They're going to be confident. And, I mean, because they're the 3 seed, if everything holds out like it is right now, they're going to – I mean, they wouldn't – see, Iona into the championship game, you know. And if you're going to a championship game against a team that you already beat, you're playing great basketball, I mean, that could bode well for Siena. So they're my team that I would pick as a sleeper in the MAC.
Hey, man, I'm definitely not mad at you right now. Siena's playing some great basketball. You mentioned they've already beaten Iona. They've beaten Monmouth, beat them out over the weekend. They've won 2 straight games. So they're going to be looking to close their season out on a good note and head into the tournament with some momentum. So no gripes there, man. There's one more league that we want to go into, and that league has been a lot of fun this season, man. A lot of high scorers, a lot of great teams, man. That league is the Missouri Valley. So, Drew, man, who do you got in the Missouri Valley, man? Who's your favorite, your sleeper, and your team on upset alert?
Yeah, man, despite the struggles, man, I still got to pick Loyola Chicago as my favorite. I think that, you know, just the pedigree of Coach Drew Valentine and Lucas Williamson and Tate Hall and all those guys over there, man, I think that that means something. So I'm not going to pick, you know, anybody to beat those guys. As far as the team on upset alert, I'm going to have to go Drake. I think that, you know, despite the fact, I think they're similar to Monmouth in a situation where, like, this is a team that's talented and they could beat anybody in the league, you know, but I also think that they could lose anybody in the league, man. So I think when it comes to Drake, man, they're a team that, you know, granted right now they're sitting at 13-5, so they're tied with Missouri State and Loyola Chicago, man, up there toward the top of the Missouri Valley, man. But I think if I had to pick one of those teams to be an upset alert, it would be Drake. Now, as far as the team that I'm going to call a sleeper, man, I'm going to go with Bradley. And it's a team that already this season has wins over Loyola Chicago, has a win over Drake. I mean, I think that
they swept Drake.
Yeah. They swept Drake already. They have a win over Loyola Chicago. And I think that this is a team, man, that, like, I don't know if people in the Missouri Valley want to play this team, man. They actually won the Missouri Valley, I believe it was two years ago. They won the Missouri Valley, man. So this is a team that also has, you know, a winning pedigree. And I know that they're going to come into the conference tournament with confidence, you know what I'm saying, having beat Loyola Chicago already, having swept Drake already, man. So if I had to pick a team that I think could kind of come out of nowhere and win the Missouri Valley, it's absolutely Bradley.
You know, I'm not mad at you at all on that pick, man. And I guess I'll start from the bottom up in my league. And you talked about Bradley. My team on upset alert is Loyola Chicago. And because they played Bradley the first game, they played Bradley the first game of the Missouri Valley tournament in that quarterfinal matchup. And Bradley, you mentioned, man, they already beat Loyola Chicago once. They've swept Drake. Bradley, the best defensive team in the Missouri Valley, man. And they're the fifth best team on offense. They're a great guarding the three-point line, man. They hold teams to 31.9% shooting from three against them. They're first in defensive efficiency, first in field goal percentage defense, first in offensive rebound percentage, first in block percentage. So they're a team that is elite at truly at all facets of the game when it comes to the defensive side of the ball, man. And, you know, in two games against Loyola, Loyola shot 5 for 23 from the floor and 8 for 23 from the floor in those two games. So they're a team that I think could definitely send Loyola packing in the first round. My favorite in the team I'll do my sleeper first. My sleeper, it's gonna be a cheap one, but my sleeper is Northern Iowa, man. Northern Iowa, they've won four straight games. They had the player in the year in the league in AJ Green, and even though they won the regular season and they're the one seed in the conference tournament, nobody's talking about them. Nobody's talking about Northern Iowa. You know, everybody's picking on Loyola Chicago to win the league. So my sleeper is gonna be Northern Iowa because obviously they're playing some great basketball right now. They're coming into the tournament hot. They've won four straight games, like I mentioned before. So I'm going to pick them to be my sleeper in the Missouri Valley, man. And then my favorite, I'm joining the party. Loyola Chicago is the favorite in the Missouri Valley. They're the only team in the Valley that is top three in both offensive and defensive efficiency, though. They have it on both sides of the ball. They're experienced, man. They have the winning pedigree. And you know, they have a great coach in Drew Valentine. And people expect to win, and they expect to win in that program. So I'm going with Missouri Valley. Excuse me. I'm going with Loyola Chicago as the favorite in the Missouri Valley. But I'm also putting them on upset alert, similar to what I did in the CAA with Towson. And I'm going with Northern Iowa for my sleeper team in the Valley.
I love it, man. You know, it's not often, you know, that we agree, you know, so it's very interesting that a lot of those leagues that we had some of the same picks, man. But nonetheless, man, you know, it's going to be exciting, you know, exciting come March, man. I'm excited to see if any of these picks come true, you know what I'm saying? So we'll have to see, you know, who has more correct picks at the end of all this.
Yeah, no, for sure. We'll definitely tally them up and we'll let you guys know who was right and who was wrong, man. But, you know, obviously, this has been a great episode, man, and it's always fun breaking down the conference tournament stuff with you, man. So we're gonna be back on to keep tabs, man, and see who was right and who was wrong when it comes to these picks, man. So make sure you guys are staying tuned to our content, man. A bunch of great games this weekend, man. I'm talking about all across college basketball. Regular seasons are wrapping up. Conference tournaments are getting started, man. So, you know what I'm saying? Get your popcorn, kick your feet up, and watch some great basketball, man. ESPN, ESPN Plus, ESPN 3, CBS Sports, man. The tournaments are everywhere, man. And they're starting early. As early as like noon. So, you know, literally on any given day from noon to like 10, 11 o'clock at night, man, you can watch any you know, college basketball tournament out here, man. It's just March, baby. You know what I'm saying? This is what we live for. So with that being said, man, it's going to do it for this episode of the Auto Bid, man. We want to thank you guys for tuning in
as always, going to remind you guys, man, make sure you guys are liking our content, subscribing to our content, man, giving us a rating on Apple Music, excuse me, Apple Podcasts. I always do that. I don't know why I always do that. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to our show, man, please give us a rating. Tell a friend about the auto bid, man. Make sure you guys are giving us a retweet on social media, sharing on Instagram and whatnot. Tell a friend about the auto bid, man. We do appreciate everybody that takes the time out to listen to our podcast, man, and we really do mean it, man. It goes a long way. So with that being said, we're going to let my guy Pull Up Tay take us out with some music on the outro, man. Stream my guy music, man. Stream my guy Pull Up Tay's music. His new project, Washed Out Now, is out everywhere, man. Go stream that. Pull Up Tay. Take the last shot. I'm drawing in the clutch, boy. You beating on me? I can tell. It's time to get a check, boy. You on the sideline. You ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You beating on me? I can tell. What's the topic of discussion? What we talking about? Take your best shot. I'ma take the last shot. I'm drawing in the clutch, boy. Take.